to construct realistic models, to construct models which involve dynamics which generate the vacuum expectation values for the n masses for the messenger multiplets. Actually, one needs a complicated set of models, often with several sectors, one supersymmetry breaking, one the supersymmetric standard model, and one or two more sectors generating this wave, generating mu terms, and so on. So a lot of work went into solving real phenomenological problems of the gauge mediation, but a lot of work also went into trying to simplify and improve gauge-mediated models, and in particular trying to construct single-sector models with possibly as low, very low scale of supersymmetry. And that's the direction I will take today. I'll try to construct very low energy scale supersymmetry breaking model, trying to connect supersymmetry breaking as directly as possible with the electrovic symmetry breaking. So single sector models, the idea is that the messenger fields, which in a bottom-up approach I added by hand, those messenger fields would directly participate in a supersymmetry breaking dynamics. And hopefully, because there are no sets of couplings, there are no many loops between standard model and a hidden sector, hopefully it will allow me to lower overall fundamental scale of supersymmetry breaking. And to lower that supersymmetry breaking scale, one needs certainly needs to increase magnitude of supersymmetry breaking in the messenger multiplet, which means that non-supersymmetric mass terms in messenger multiplet, which are F terms, are comparable to the supersymmetric masses of the messenger multiplet. In other words, the ratios are 4 to 1. Even then, F over M, which is mass dimension, has the mass dimension 1, can be at least needs to be around 80 TeV, and that's because the standard model superpartners are further suppressed by loop factors compared to this scale. And we didn't see sleptons at lab, so the 80 TeV is the lowest scale one can go. Typically, to lower the scale even further, one would require a large number of messengers because soft masses are proportional to the number of messengers. Well, these goals are very difficult to achieve. Some success with single sector models.
Just have a question. If you did that and increased the number of messengers, is it still the case that the LSP is then becomes a stow? That was the old problem.
The LSP is still gravitina.
I guess the NLSP becomes a stow.
Yes. So, not necessarily. Just increasing number of messengers will not change any ratios of masses. So whatever this gauge mediation, the supersymmetry breaking gives you will be the same kind of spectrum, just scaled down a little bit, or scaled up rather, relative to the overall supersymmetry breaking scale. In what we will be doing, we will increase number of messengers charged under SU2 in a way different from messengers charged under SU3. So there, the ratios of masses between various superpartners will change, but we cannot yet calculate what is NLSP and so on. Okay, so the problem in those earlier attempts was that generic calculable models of dynamical supersymmetry breaking typically have large hierarchies of scales. And what happens is, yes, one can construct single sector models, but the mass of the messenger, or that, in other words, the vacuum expectation value of that singlet gauge singlet field which gave mass to the messengers becomes very large. One needs relatively large F term, still small compared to what it would be in gravity mediation, but still large. And therefore, the scale overall scale of supersymmetry breaking is nowhere close to 80 TeV. Messengers are much heavier, and so on and so forth. One could imagine, basically, one needs some supersymmetry breaking model where the vacuum lies near the origin of the moduli space, and there are no small parameters, no large hierarchies. And unfortunately, until now, all the models of this type that have been known have been strongly coupled. So you couldn't calculate the spectrum. You didn't know even if there is that vacuum there. what is the spectrum of the messenger list. That changed with some observations made by Intralligator Cyber and Shebeck in February, but before describing the ideas, let me point out that it's clear that various supersymmetry breaking models, just supersymmetric models, have rather complicated potentials. That some, we are thinking of some gauge series there, which have strong coupling effects and so on. It's clear that the metastable supersymmetry breaking vacuum states are rather generic in those series. The problem is to find such states which are calculable, and until now in direct gauge mediation, in attempts to construct gauge mediation, such metastable states were found, but again, as I said, at large vacuum expectation values, theory is calculable, but the low energy, but supersymmetry breaking is not extremely low energy. What ISS noticed is that some interesting models or calculable models can be constructed by starting with a Rafferty. And here's an example which will go on to towards our model. I'll construct a rather complicated Rafferty model. Well, it will be acting the same way as any other Rafferty model would be, but I'll have a lot of fields, and I'll have SUN cross SUF global symmetry. I'll give charges to, I'll have fields which are denoted here, phi, phi, by, and m tilde, and I'll give them this set of charges under the global symmetry. The results are R symmetry, under which only one field is charged. Here is the superpotential, and the first thing I can do is to look at supersymmetry preserving vacuum states and take equation of motion for m. Actually, m tilde should be here too. So F terms conditions mean are given here. So there are n independent F term conditions. It's F independent F term conditions. And this matrix proportional to unity has to be cancelled by vacuum expectation value of my phi fields, which are, let me call them quarks, because they will become eventually messengers of gauge mediation. So they are messenger quarks. Well, but there is SUN cross SUF flavor symmetry, and the n by n matrix made out of phi and phi bar is really a product of two n by f matrices. And that n by n mass matrix has a maximal rank, which is a minimum of n and f. So if number n is less than f, I cannot satisfy all the f terms conditions, and supersymmetry must be broken. Again, this is just a simpler Rafferty model with added global symmetries. I would like to point out that at the vacuum, symmetry is broken from SUN times SUF to a diagonal SUN times a diagonal SUF minus N, and the U1R symmetry remains, at least if at the vacuum that field, the only field which was charged under the symmetry, trace M, if that field is at the origin of the field space. There is a large set of massless fields at the minimum. Some of them are Goldstones of broken global symmetries, but some are just super partners of the Goldstones, which accidentally turn out to be light. And these, because supersymmetry is broken, they will not remain light. One can calculate Coleman-Weinberg potential, and here is the result of Intralligator Cyberg Shi for the most interesting field from my perspective, for the trace M, the field which leads to supersymmetry breaking. Here is the potential, and you can see that it gives a positive mass square for that pseudo-flat direction, which at classical level was exactly flat. So like in any Rafferty model, we have supersymmetry breaking. We have a set of fields. A minimal in a Rafferty model would be one, but we have a large number of fields whose potential is exactly flat classically. But then Coleman-Weinberg potential stabilizes it, and there is a well-defined vacuum, in this case, at the origin of the moduli space. Well, but before, one could construct the same model, and people were not interested really in Rafferty models for several reasons. They are not asymptotically free gauge series. The mass parameters which are needed to break supersymmetry have to be introduced by hand, and so on. What ISS observed is that the Sarafferty model can be understood as low energy effective description of asymptotically free gauge theory. Before going there, so let me point out that these results for supersymmetry breaking and stabilizing the minimum will not be changed if I weakly gauge one of the global symmetry, SUN, for example. So I had these two symmetries. Eventually, I will actually gauge both of them. But let me first weakly gauge SUN. And it's clear for sufficiently small coupling, perturbative analysis doesn't change, and supersymmetry breaking vacuum is still there. So what Intrilegator Cyberg she noticed is that the perturbative superpotential, the superpotential that I have written here, is just a magnetic superpotential of a dual electric theory. Dual electric theory with F plus N colors. Here now M is a meson of a dual theory, while phi and phi bar are dual quarks. So this is what I'm writing here. And the mass of the electric quarks in electric theory is that supersymmetry breaking parameter F squared that I had over the electric over the scale of dynamical scale of the electric theory. Now we have two theories which are dual to each other, electric and magnetic description. We've started with magnetic description. We calculated perturbative physics. Is our calculation reliable? In other words, we are in infrared out of these two theories. Only one is weakly coupled. So if our magnetic theory is weakly coupled, then our perturbative calculation of Coleman and Weinberg was reliable, and we can really say that there is a supersymmetry breaking vacuum near the origin. If the number of flavors, now I will call them...
Is it sort of obvious, this duality, or
Well, the original cyber duality wasn't obvious. What is not obvious, but it's... I mean, it's kind of... let me go back and point see what's going on. Imagine that I should have written electric description. Imagine that I would write you SUN plus F gauge theory with F flavors. Then according to Cyberg, there is a dual, which is SUN plus F minus F gauge theory, which is SUN, still with global SUF symmetry. The quarks of an original theory, QQ bar, confine and become mesons, and transform as a joint plus a singlet of the dual theory. That's my confined quarks of electric theory. And the dual theory also has magnetic mesons and magnetic quarks. And magnetic quarks coupled to the dual mesons in this superpotential. So it's just an observation that this particular Rafferty model with this three-level superpotential looks exactly like a magnetic description of asymptotically free gauge theory, a supersymmetric Yang-Mills with F flavors of a different supersymmetric Yang-Mills. So magnetic description, in other words, description with which I started, will be free near the origin of field space or in infrared if number of flavors is more than three times number of colors, basically if the theory is infrared free rather than the UV asymptotically free. And now realizing that this theory could have arisen from asymptotically free gauge theory, we also realize that it really doesn't break supersymmetry globally. The vacuum we found is only a local supersymmetry breaking vacuum. One can argue that this global supersymmetry preserving vacuum exists by going to a dual electric description and analyzing theory there, but one can also look in the magnetic description. So in magnetic description, I had this field M, which at least at the classical level was a flat direction. The trace of M was flat direction. So let me imagine going in the field space and given large vacuum expectation value for M, then my quarks phi and phi bar will become very heavy. I can integrate them out, and then I will end up with super Yang-Mills theory where there will be a Gaugena condensation, and Gaugena condensation will will lead to a superpotential. That Gina condensation superpotential can be written in terms of original my vacuum expectation value for my mesons M through this formula and adding it to a tree-level superpotential. This is really instanton generated term in a superpotential. Adding it to a tree-level superpotential will generate a supersymmetry preserving minimum 5A in the field space for large values of meson. But the local supersymmetry breaking minimum will still be there, and ISS analyzed it in terms of whether it can be long-lived, and it can be sufficiently long-lived with appropriate choices of the parameters that we can that from cosmological point of view we can think that we live in that minimum and construct a model with supersymmetry broken in that minimum. There is one or two actually special cases. One that I will use specifically. Let me say that my model I started with SUN cross SUF global symmetry, where SUN would be gauge, has N equal 1. There is then really no magnetic gauge group here, because N equal is just equal 1. But the electric dual of that theory is an S-confining SQCD. In other words, it's SQCD where the number of flavors is 1 more than number of colors. And what I used to have as dual quarks of my theory in electric description in this special case are baryons of electric theory. So in electric theory, there is a superpotential which is a determinant of the quark bilinears of mesons and has this determinant and also baryon-antibaryon multiplying a meson. This part I already introduced as my tree-level superpotential. This non-perturbative piece is precisely the piece which, in a particular case where there are no colors in a magnetic description, will restore supersymmetry. As an aside, I would like to point out that ISS also made a conjecture that in one more case where N is equal 0, so the dual, or rather electric description, is super Young Mills with a quantum modified moduli space, that even in that theory, there is a local supersymmetry breaking minimum near the origin. They had some arguments why it could happen. They couldn't prove it. If one can prove it, or at least have additional arguments, this class of models can also lead to very interesting phenomenological possibilities for phenomenological model building. In the meantime, I'll concentrate on this specific case where my SUN cross SUF global symmetry is just SUF global symmetry. I'm in S confining description of some electric theory. So my electric theory will be SU5 cross SU6 flavor. And why is SU6 flavor? Because I want to embed the standard model into that flavor gauge group. Furthermore, it's guaranteed that some of the fields charged on the SU6 will acquire vacuum expectation values. So this flavor group cannot be just the standard model, cannot be just SU5. And in this talk, SU5 is just a bookkeeping device. It doesn't. Not all SU5 is gauge. So I will look at electric theory with SU5 cross SU6 and embed SU5 into SU6 flavor symmetry. In my magnetic description, there is no really a gauge group anymore. It's just an Araferty model with fields transforming under SU6 flavor symmetry. My tilted meson from before has decoupled into matrix of this form where M is 5x5 mass 5x5 matrix. And it transforms as adjoint plus a singlet of standard model SU5. There are two N fields which are also part of that meson, which transform as fundamental and anti-fundamental of SU5. And finally, the field X, which is like a trace of my meson. My original quarks now, which used to be fundamentals of the full flavor symmetry, are now fundamental or anti-fundamental of SU5 standard model plus standard model singlets. And the superpotential of this theory is on this page. So it's just the original superpotential that I had, but rewritten in terms of field decomposed under SU5 and its coset. So here, phi, phi bar will be my messengers. Psi and psi bar will acquire vacuum expectation value, and together with the F term for X field will lead to supersymmetry breaking. So if I minimize that potential, I will find that at the minimum, F term for trace M part is non-zero, and psi is non-zero either. So supersymmetry must be broken. Phi phi bar, for example, coupled to a field which has an F term, so they are candidate messengers. In fact, there are many candidate messengers. Phi and phi bar mix with N fields over here, and that was required to have supersymmetry breaking minimum. And so both phi and phi bar will be candidate messengers. And also, my meson field M itself, it was adjoint of the standard model, so it also can be a messenger, and I need to calculate its contributions to the superpartner spectrum. So the first set of messengers are, actually it shouldn't be psi, it should be phi. Phi and N fermions, they have mass F, and the mass F comes simply because at the minimum, psi has a vacuum expectation value equal to F, and therefore fermions of phi bar and N will mix together and will acquire mass F. The scalars are split around that mass, and their mass is squared for one component of the scalar is zero, for another one, and again this is another mistake, it's twice F squared, so that the super trace of the scalar mass matrix vanishes. This is not a very good situation, because if I calculate superpartner masses in this theory, where the splitting between in messenger multiplet is exactly equal to average mass of the messengers, or supersymmetric mass of the messengers, I will find that superpartner masses at two loops exactly vanish. So I will need to do something to shift average mass of these messenger quarks for higher than F, so that the lightest scalar is not massless. In addition to superpartner masses not being generated, I certainly also don't want standard model charged scalar fields to be massless. Another problem arises when I look at a second potential messenger, namely in the field M. Both scalars and fermions in that field are massless at tree level, but I've already told you that as far as scalars in M are concerned, they will obtain mass through Coulomb and Weinberg potential at one loop. Fermions, however, will remain massless as long as there is some symmetry, such as chiral symmetry or R symmetry, protecting their mass. And in this case, I've started with a theory which, at least in low energy description, had an accidental R symmetry, and that accidental R symmetry is unbroken at the origin. So fermions.
How do we see that accidental R symmetry?
Let me just go for a simpler case where there is this potential. Basically, superpotential has to have R charge 2. Mm-hmm. So if I give meson R charge 2, dual quarks R charge 0, there is R symmetry. I'm calling it accidental because in my electric description, I had massive QCD. That theory didn't have R symmetry. It's only an effective description that R symmetry appears. Moreover, if M has non-zero vacuum expectation value, this R symmetry is broken, but there may be leftover discrete R symmetry which will still prevent masses for fermions in M. Mm-hmm. This is basically, I'm free to shift M for now. And if I shift M, it appears that I'm breaking R symmetry, but it turns out that as far as the fermions are concerned, there is a discrete symmetry left over. So where was I? So I need to solve these problems. I need to shift mass of one set of messengers so that there is no massless scalar. And I need to give a mass to the fermion in the messenger M. And the way to do it is just to add a further coupling between my messenger quarks and the field which acquires vacuum expectation value. Because at the minimum psi is non-zero, phi and phi bar obtain masses at least naively one would think so, that mass term would be supersymmetric, and the whole messenger multiplet would be shifted. Unfortunately, when one starts calculating Coleman-Weinberg, something almost obvious happens. The meson, which used to be classically a flat direction, is just shifted, and now the minimum of a Coleman-Weinberg happens at a place where my messenger quarks have no mass. So what I did, if I just added the first term, this is not sufficient. What I need to do, I will need to add further fields, which will couple both to psi so that they have masses, and they will couple to my supersymmetry breaking meson so that they can affect its Coleman-Weinberg potential. Once I've done that, and those additional fields could be singlets of electric theory, so they are neutral both in dual description, in low energy description, and microscopic description. Once these fields are introduced, there are because the couplings of these fields to the meson are different from the couplings of the messenger quarks to the meson, there are different pools. This coupling would prefer that the meson acquires vacuum expectation value to cancel the singlet mass, and the coupling of meson to quarks would want to cancel this mass term. As a result, at the minimum, meson wave is not equal to the wave of the psi, and my messenger quarks acquire masses. And now I can generate a diagram which will give masses to the Gaugena fields of the standard model, and this insertion, R-symmetry breaking and chirality changing insertion of psi vacuum expectation value was essential. And exactly the same diagram will give a mass to the fermions in the M field. So adding this set of terms in the superpotential gave me precisely what I wanted, namely, it shifted my main messengers 5-5 bar so that there is no massless messenger here, and it gave mass to dangerously massless fermions in M superfield and in Gaugenas.
So this S field is not a singlet, though, under the standard model.
It is singlet both on the standard model and under the electric description of the CRE. I don't think we've considered possibilities of coupling it to the Higgs sector yet. Mm-hmm. But psi is also a singlet under the standard model, and that, as you will see, we are trying to couple to the Higgs sector to generate mu and b terms. Mm-hmm. So I've given you a model which generates a mass spectrum for messengers, which should lead to positive superpartner masses. An independent calculation of what those superpartner masses will be is needed for two reasons. First of all, supersymmetry breaking, f of m squared, is large in a messenger multiplet, so I cannot work in expanding in small supersymmetry breaking parameters. This has been done before. However, because I now have messengers, let me again go a little back. I have messengers 5-5 bar which couple to supersymmetry breaking, but also mix in a supersymmetric way with messengers in N and N bar, really gauge-mediated calculation, while it will be qualitatively the same, is likely to give somewhat different result, and it needs to be done. And next part of my talk is to generate scales in my Rafferty model. So one origin of the scale was the confinement of electric theory, but still I had explicit factor of F squared, which was a linear term for the meson. And to generate that set of scales, and I was motivating this work by saying that it would be nice not to have Rafferty models with all explicit scales, but have them generated dynamically, I'll introduce further fields and interaction into the theory. I'll introduce supercolor SU2 with some two flavors so that it will confine and have quantum moduli space. And then my linear term in a superpotential, I will promote it to a non-renormalizable coupling of my Rafferty model to the supercolor sector. That's already generating the scale dynamically, at least in the sense that it will arise from a relevant operator. And because I had this idea that my Rafferty model came from some more microscopic electric description. In that microscopic electric description, my Rafferty model and this coupling comes from an operator of this four non-renormalizable operator in a superpotential which couples some electric SU5 with a supercolor sector. And here's a relation between the scales. So the point that I want to make is the following. To have low energy supersymmetry breaking so that the gravitino mass is low, so that the highest scale of supersymmetry breaking in the whole model, including hidden sector, is of order 100 TeV, I need this F to be of order 100 TeV. However, all the strong coupling scales of the hidden sector could well be much larger than 100 TeV. And that's one of the ways why strong dynamics, both in supercolor and electric theory, do not lead to the strong coupling in my calculation, in my low-energy Rafferty model.
So this non-renormalizable term that you're visualizing is coming from some kind of...
It can be suppressed by M. Planck. So it's no, I'm not visualizing some non-perturbative dynamics from instanton, but it can be some supergravity-induced interactions so suppressed by M. Planck, and I can easily choose this set of scales so that the ratio will give me 100 TeV squared. So then we can discuss, now that we have everything, we can discuss superpartner spectrum. The leading contribution to superpartner spectrum comes from the messengers in 5 and 5 bar and NN bar that they are mixing with because they have their masses are generated at leading order. That's just a regular gauge-mediated contributions. As I said, that contribution has to be calculated precisely, also qualitatively we know it. The fields in superfield M also serve as messengers. However, they only obtain mass or mass squared for the scalars at one loop. So they are relatively light compared to phi and phi bar, and therefore their contributions to the superpartner masses will be suppressed. They still need to be calculated because for this set of fields, the super trace does not vanish within the super multiply. And in principle, there are logarithmic divergences in this calculation, which could make this contribution comparable to the contribution of my main messengers if the logs were large. But logs cannot be large since supersymmetry is broken at low energy. Still, it's useful to calculate their contribution. Finally, we need to look at the Higgs sector, and we need to generate a mass term for the Higgs, both mu term, I mean, electrovic symmetry breaking, we need to generate mu term and a B term. And so far, I will describe a simplest way of doing it, which hopefully is not the only one, but it works. And in a Higgs sector, it's very easy to couple the scalar, the singlet of my supersymmetry breaking sector to H up and H down. And if I'm willing to take one small Yukawa coupling beta, then I can generate a mu term of appropriate size. However, because psi is supersymmetric field, it doesn't have an F term, there is no B term here. And no B term at tree level. That's it, one of the typical problems. But in fact, one of the past solutions for mu problem in gauge mediation was to generate a set of models where at tree level there is no B term. And however, once the gauge genus obtain mass, and that happens at one loop, a small B term will be generated at next loop order, so it will be proportional to SU2 gauge coupling, to mass of the vena, and the mu term itself. That implies a large tangent beta of order 50. Actually, in this case, it can be reduced somewhat because in addition to gauge genus, fermions in the superfield M also contribute to that B term. So there is a factor of 2 compared to old models of gauge mediation. Also, here, before one needed a lot of work in symmetry to prohibit B term while allowing mu term, here this is almost automatic. Finally, I'll come to the gauge, a little hierarchy problem of gauge mediation. Basically, it arises from the fact that there is large ratio between quark and slepton Higgs masses in gauge mediation. It's fixed by the fact that that ratio is roughly ratio of the gauge coupling of the standard model gauge groups. And we have bounds on sleptons coming from left. And it turns out that these bounds imply that the ratio of F over M is at least 80 TeV, and quark masses are at least 700 GeV. Then one can calculate at least some terms in a Higgs potential, in a potential of H up, and electrovic symmetry breaking is usually triggered perturbatively by stop loops. One can calculate typical value of those stop loops for heavy quarks of order 700 GeV, for top U cover of order 1. One obtains that this particular term in a Higgs potential is 500 GeV squared, and that leads to a little hierarchy problem. One needs a fine-tuning of about 3%. To reduce this fine-tuning, two things are necessary. One would like to lower the scale, overall scale of supersymmetry breaking as much as possible, and one would like to reduce the hierarchy between sleptons and quarks. The way to reduce hierarchy between sleptons and quarks was proposed several years ago by Agashi and Grassi, and it's very simple. To decrease that hierarchy, add doublet messengers, which will contribute to SU2 and U1 charged scalars, but will not contribute to SU3 charged scalars, and that therefore will reduce relative masses of quarks relative to right-handed sleptons. The way, obviously, doing so prevents one from simple unification of gauge couplings, because we are going to add not complete multiplets of the gut theory. But to do so, in our case, we will enlarge flavor symmetry of supersymmetry breaking sector. So instead of embedding the standard model into SU5 group, flavor group of a hidden...
Can I just ask about that gauge unification? I mean, if these guys are introduced at the supersymmetry breaking scale, I guess it doesn't affect the parent gauge unification, does it? I mean, would your gauge Eno masses still be in the alpha ratios?
The gauge Eno mass there would be different. Gauge Eno mass also depends on the number of messengers, right? And before the ratio, that number of messengers canceled out of the ratio of gauge Eno masses. Mm-hmm. Now it won't, because
so the gauge Eno masses would not be unified then, but about the coupling constants?
Coupling constants would not be unified because they're made in just doublets, so it's not complete gut representations.
Right, but if those were all at the high scale...
But my high scale is 8. My scale of supersymmetry breaking and scale where those fields live is 80 TeV. So I have all this running
at low energy. I mean, would you still have a parent gauge unification?
My electric description is at some high energy scale, and I would need to understand my theory in all of this SU5 cross the standard model glory to see what the gauge coupling does. But that can be a very high scale. It could be above gut scale if I wanted to.
So I'm just asking, from our point of view at low energy, would we still think these coupling constants...
No, they would. If we tested theory just above the Planck scale, just above the scale of new messengers, mm-hmm. If we see apparent unification now above the scale of those messengers, we wouldn't see it.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, but it's still possible that we would see it apparently now.
Yes, but that would be some random couplings UV would have to be... Yeah, it just doesn't... There is no explanation that I start with a simple coupling and see what I see now.
Yeah.
There is no explanation why I would see a mirage of unification.
Yeah.
So really, in terms of unification in this model, we are giving it up. But as far as constructing the model where the hierarchy between sleptons and quarks is suppressed, I'll embed the standard model instead of embedding it in SU5 flavor symmetry of the hidden sector. I'll embed it in SU7, or specifically SU5 cross SU2 subgroup of SU7. there is really nothing qualitatively changing in the theory. But now all my messenger fields and supersymmetry breaking field M in particular, there are two sets of fields. So M was an adjoint of SU5. Now it's adjoint of SU5 plus an adjoint of SU2 plus, I didn't write here, but there was a trace part which was singlet of SU5. Similarly for my messengers and so on. So if the standard model fields which are charged under SU2, if I embed standard model SU2 in some diagonal subgroup between SU5, SU2, and the extra SU2, then both 5-5 and 5-2 will be messengers. But for squarks, SU3 is always embedded only into SU5 subgroup, so the number of messengers didn't change. So already this helps. It helped by something like a factor of square root of 2 as far as lowering the scale of the squarks and lowering the scale of the typical contribution to the Higgs mass. Moreover, because embedding is somewhat arbitrary of SU2 cross U1 hypercharge into SU5 cross SU2, and it's arbitrary because I already gave up on unification, U1 hypercharge charges of messengers are now arbitrary. In fact, I can arrange the U1 hypercharge charges in such a way that triplet messengers will not carry U1 charges, but doublet messengers will, and therefore triplet messengers will contribute into the squark masses, will simply contribute with SU3 gauge couplings, but the doublet messengers contributed to lepton masses will contribute with proportionally to SU2 gauge coupling, but also with large factor which is proportional to their total number and their U1 charges, which can be arbitrary. So I can do so and lower, and by abandoning unification, I can lower the scale of supersymmetry breaking down to about 50 TeV and lower fine tuning to basically something like 15-20%, which is really not a fine tuning. So by now I described basically all the details of the model, so let me conclude. I've presented a calculable low scale direct gauge mediation model. And this gauge mediation model presents new possibilities for softening little hierarchy problem, also at the cost of giving up on the gauge coupling unification. Clearly, it leads to improved situation with the mu term. Without much work, we got some of the naive or some of the solutions which have required a lot of work before, and further improvements might be possible. And as I said, further work on calculating particle spectrum and therefore on phenomenological signatures of this model is still necessary and still in progress.
I still don't understand why you don't have a soft term for the mu parameter. Could you repeat that argument there?
Let me go back. So I'll go back over here, and so what not over here, over here. So the field which broke supersymmetry and got an F term was field M, and it's charged in the standard model, so it cannot in a simple way couple, if I think in terms of SU5 multiplets, it cannot in a simple way couple, well, I can prohibit its coupling to the standard model. If I allowed this field to couple to the Higgs directly, then Higgs could acquire F to cancel F term of M. So this coupling of this particular field to the Higgs is not allowed. Mm-hmm. The field which acquires F, so typically I would, in usual gauge mediation, M would have both F and an F term. Here it only has an F term. Mm-hmm. Instead, the F comes from this field psi, which only has a VF and no F term. And I need, as I just said, I need to prohibit coupling of M to the Higgs, otherwise I would restore supersymmetry and no Coleman-Weinberg would save me. So now the only...
Let's see, psi has only a VF and no
and
F
term. Only has a VF and no F term, and therefore there is no B term.
Why no F term again?
Because... if I go to the superpotential and take equation of motion for psi, basically all it tells me is that n and phi don't have f's. Then psi equation of motion is solved, and psi doesn't have an f term. It's a equation of motion for x, on the other hand, will force psi to have a vacuum expectation value because there is a linear term for x and a coupling of x to psi psi bar. And psi and psi bar, I'm using interchangeably, both of them will get vacuum expectation values. So basically, there is no f term for psi can be satisfied even with broken supersymmetry. And therefore, the minimum will be wherever the F term for psi is minimal.
Okay.
What it does, it forces those fields to become massive, and it forces those fields to live at the origin, and therefore not break the standard model, because N and phi would have standard model charges, so they, I don't want them to come back to an expectation value.
You talked about magnetic quarks. What does that mean?
The starting point was the idea of Seiberg of a long time ago. Do you have a
chalk?
Yeah.
It's in the
bookcase.
So having supersymmetric SUN, and now I'll call it electric to distinguish from that SUM. Having a supersymmetric SUM with SUF flavor symmetry, that theory in the infrared. And what I mean by SUF flavor symmetry is that I have quarks, electric quarks, which are charged as a fundamental representation of gauge group and corresponding the fundamental representation of flavor group. That theory is dual to another theory, which was SUN electric, sorry, SUN F minus N electric number of colors times the same global symmetry. And that theory has magnetic quarks, which are, again, fundamental of this dual gauge group, fundamental, anti-fundamental of dual gauge group, and correspondingly fundamental anti-fundamental of the flavor symmetry.
So they have some kind of magnetic charge, is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
like
they have magnetic charges, basically.
Okay.
But in this description, that's an electric charge of that theory, right? Because if I have magnetic charge, the equations of motion are kind of converted.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you again.
Thank you.